I just couldn't resist when I found that it was fun. So we're going through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and we're learning more and more about Jesus. What do you learn about Jesus in this passage? He's there for us. Okay, he's there for the people. Well, okay, but that's not in this passage, right? What do you learn? But you're right. What do you learn in this passage about Jesus? What kind of teacher is he? Yes, he does. How?
He's teaching differently.
He's teaching differently, very differently. And in fact, differently than he's done to this point. This is a turning point in Jesus' ministry and the first parable he tells. Did you know that? Did you realize that this parable is the first one that he ever tells? Up until this point, he's just been sharing the truth. And how has it gone with the people that are in charge? What he's been saying? How have they reacted? Not well. That is an understatement. So he's had a bad day. Okay, when we put it all together, it's kind of interesting because think about if we lose, if we lose the Super Bowl. Okay. Don't tell anybody in Seattle. Oh, that's right. Oh, and there is this person, there are a couple of them in my former church that listen to the recordings. Okay. Guys, really, I still love the Hawks. That's so funny. If we lose the Super Bowl today, for some people, that will be a bad Sunday. Right? That'll be a bad Sunday. I heard this morning, I forget what the percentage is of people who don't go to work the day after the Super Bowl. Did you know that? It's something like 30% of the whole workforce in this country don't go to work the day after the Super Bowl, and they're proposing a Super Bowl Monday holiday. Wow. Wow. Well, Jesus was having a bad Sabbath. Of course, it would have been a Friday for him, but a bad Sunday. He had spent the whole last day defending himself to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Do you remember he got in trouble for his disciples eating the heads of the wheat on the Sabbath? Then he gets in trouble for healing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. Then he gets accused of working for Satan. Remember that last week? When he releases a man from a demon. And then he has his mothers and brothers trying to keep him sane. Remember? He's out of his mind. We talked about that last week. So here he is. It's like, oh my gosh. Maybe the way to teach these people is to tell a parable. And a parable is a story. The definition is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I like that definition. I saw it in several commentaries. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So you can listen to the story and get something out of the story like the children did. Their conclusion, we are dirt. Okay? But if you're looking for the heavenly meaning, it goes much, much deeper. These stories were hard to argue with. When you do something that's radical, people can push back. When you make a statement people disagree with, people can push back. When you tell a story, you're far less likely to have to deal with the arguing that was going on. And in fact, many times as you read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus tells these parables, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law go, he's talking about us. But they don't dare say a word. They don't dare say a word. So it's important to know that this telling of parables is a change of strategy for Jesus. He is an excellent teacher, and he knows how to handle this pushback coming from the religious leaders. It's interesting that he said to them, this is verses 11 to 12, to you, he's talking to the 12 plus some others that are close by, To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that, and it's a quote in the scripture, they may indeed look but not perceive, they may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. I don't know if you're like me. That always bothered me. It's like, is Jesus deliberately preventing outsiders from hearing the truth? Do you ever wonder about that? I don't know how many of you have read this passage, but that's something that you go, I don't get that. Interestingly, that quote goes back to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapters 9 to 10. This is that passage. And he said, this is God talking to Isaiah, go and say to this people, hear and hear, but do not understand. See and see, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Isn't that kind of odd? What a commission for Isaiah. Go in and make their hearts fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes. Instead, I mean, my calling is to open people's eyes. Right? Your calling is to open people's eyes and hearts. But Isaiah was tasked with basically letting the people know it's too late. It's too late for them. The passages do not mean that Jesus and God are causing people not to be able to understand the truth. They are words of judgment that those people are incapable of receiving the truth. They are incapable. Can't happen. In the case of Jesus in these parables, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to each one of us so that we can understand. Do you realize that? Those that look at scripture and they're not believers, they are going to read it differently than believers will read it, because a believer has the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what the word is saying to us. So in this case, Jesus is saying, you're not able to do this because you've already rejected me. Have you ever had somebody that when you talk to them, they already have made up their minds? Okay, no matter what you're going to say, is not going to help. And in some cases, it makes them more entrenched. Think talking to adult children. I know something about this. Right? So it's that kind of thing that Jesus is saying. You know, he's saying, whatever you say, it's going to, if anything, make it worse. It's going to make it worse. Understanding the parables, like I said, requires the Holy Spirit. A theologian said about faith, this is one of the kernels I took out of my seminary training that has been pivotal in my life. So many people that are out there, people who do not follow Jesus, are out there, and my nephew is a case in point. Those of you that met my nephew is one who's seeking understanding. Okay, he's trying to figure it out. He's trying to prove that Jesus is who he says he is, or to prove that he is not. Can you relate, people around you? Okay, so this theologian said, it's not about understanding, seeking faith, which is what that is. It's about faith seeking understanding. You cannot understand until you have faith. Make sense? Okay, so then we have this parable of the four soils. And honestly, I don't need to say much. The kids said it all. That little clip said it all. So what kind of soil are we? What kind of soil are we? If we're soil on the path, we're a non-believer. Okay? We reject Christ. We reject his truth. The word doesn't go in at all. It just sits there, waiting to be pecked up by the birds. Okay? Rocky soil. A tentative believer. Maybe I believe. I think I might believe. Note that they receive the word with joy. They like what they hear. I get to go to heaven. I get to go to heaven. But when they find that life is tough still, or maybe even tougher, as Jesus promised, they walk away. They may come to church for a short while, but they never really plug in. And they may go somewhere else where it's more exciting to be with people. Thorny soil, again, a believer. They receive the truth. They believe, but their faith is less of a priority than it should be. They are more concerned with outside things, with sports. Oh yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Sports, but you're here. Money, consumerism, etc. They don't participate in the ministry and mission of a church at all, or maybe only a little. That's thorny soil, and there are more people in the thorns than realize it. You think about the people you know, the believers you know. Many are having their faith choked by the thorns. The good soil. That's what we're supposed to be, good dirt. I'm going to remember that. They hear the truth. They accept Jesus as Lord, not just Savior, Lord, and they bear fruit. Ooh. So hear carefully. If you are not bearing fruit, meaning bringing other people into a relationship with Christ, that doesn't mean they've fully accepted him, but you are making disciples. If you are not bearing fruit, you are not good soil. Ouch. That's the key, is that your faith is more than something just between you and God. You are filled with joy in such a way that you reach out and you serve others with the heart of Christ and you bear fruit. I don't know about you. That's pretty amazing. Think about what he says, you know, 30-fold, 100-fold. What would happen if each one of us brought even 5 people into relationship with Christ? Some have. I can look around this room and I know there's some of you that have. Some have not done that. Keep in mind, this is what Jesus is talking about. We are all to become good soil. All of us. No one's quite there yet. That's the good news. That's the good news. Most of you know who the Apostle Paul is. For those of you who are new to the faith and to Scripture, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And he started out persecuting Christians, and then Jesus literally turned him around. Okay, that's a whole story. It's in the book of Acts. And Paul is like your super Christian, right? Because just as much passion as he had with persecuting, when he flipped and went the other way, his passion was making disciples for Christ. And we think he did a pretty good job. You read the New Testament, yeah? Those of you that have read Scripture. So in Philippians 3... this is what he says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, we have the Olympics coming up. This is a great image. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, that press on is like leaning against that finish line when you have somebody doing a track event. Okay, so Paul is saying he's not there yet. Well, if he's not there yet, I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. No one's there yet. There's always more. There's always more. If Paul had not reached the goal of being perfect soil, good soil, then we haven't either. So, how do you become good soil? You ready? We always go for the practical. You ready? This is what you need to do, what I need to do. First of all, believe. That's kind of key, right? Believe. Second, attend church regularly. I'm not going to define regularly, but come more than you don't. Okay, I'll put it that way. Read your Bible every day. Every single day. If you don't know where to start, I've said this before, read the book of Psalms. Read the book of John if you're looking to understand who Jesus is and are new to this. Book of Philippians, book of James, those are all good places to start. Spend time in prayer every day. And this isn't prayer. Lord, help me. It's prayer, but, you know, oh, God, would you please let that light be green? Please let the Patriots win. Prayer is deeper than that. It's not that those aren't prayers and they're not good prayers. I do know that I left that out in our prayer time, and I didn't really mean to, Doug. And in fact, I was thinking if I were to put that in there, I would be praying for the safety of the players. Not for who would win. I hate it when I see these guys get hurt. That's hard. Join a small group study. Join a small group. If you got the newsletter, the e-flyer, not the newsletter, the e-flyer, you have a list there of things that are going to be starting. I'm going to be pushing a little for that because we need to go deeper in the Word. Become involved in ministry and mission, and then purposefully represent Christ to those around you. Sow seeds yourself. Invite them to come to your house. Invite them to come to church. Invite them to a small group. Reach out. Be like those seeds in the video that went, whoa! I love that part when they come up, you know, and they're excited, and then they start growing and they start multiplying. That's what this church needs to be. That's what it needs to be. It needs that energy. It needs that joy. So, are we good dirt? If we're not good enough, start working on it. Okay? Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, help us be good dirt. Help us carry that image with us. And Lord, perhaps as we look outside and we look at the dirt on the ground, remind us what it is to be good dirt, where seeds can grow and, Lord, then where the plants can multiply. Show us the ways that you would have us go. And, Lord, do continue to fill us with that joy. It's in your name we pray. Amen.